At Soycle.
Cheese curds tossed in seasoning on a bed of crinkle cut fries with a demi-glaze and cheese sauce drizzle topped with herbs and more cheese.
At Soycle. By the way, Darren Breeden in 2018 set the world record eating 5 pounds, 2 ounces of cheese curds in 6 minutes.
Man, that sounds kind of tasty. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Happy Friday! TGIF. I know that I am incredibly happy that it's Friday and that I don't have a show tomorrow so that I can unpack hundreds of boxes. Maybe not hundreds, but we moved yesterday and now I have a lot to do this weekend. But it's Friday, and it's not raining, and it's lovely, and I'm happy to be here. Jane on the board, danger-related yes. Jane, how are you doing this?
I am really great. I am with you that I'm so delighted it's Friday. I'm delighted by some of the memes that are going around after last night's January 6th committee hearing. The Josh Hawley running with Benny Hill underneath is destined to be a classic.
A classic.
Without a doubt.
Huge classic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our guest today, I want to get back to the hearings, but our guest today is a student at UW-Madison who previously ran for the Wisconsin State Assembly in 2020 and is currently serving as chair of the 3rd Congressional District Dems, Josephine Janes. Thank you for being here today. You made quite the drive to get here to be in studio with me, so we very much appreciate that.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. So before we move on to, there's so much I want to talk to you about when it comes to the Driftless region of Wisconsin, an area that I think it's an afterthought for a lot of people when talking about Wisconsin and Wisconsin news. But before that, I just kind of want to read the room. I'm sure we all watched the primetime January 6th hearings last night. Any big takeaways from either of you ladies?
Well, the video of him, former President Trump, trying to tape his address. The day after is pretty remarkable, and we do have some sound of that.
Did you watch this part with the outtakes?
I have watched the outtakes.
All right, well, let's play it just because I have some, at least it struck a chord with me for both reasons you might not expect.
All right, take a listen.
Addressing the heinous attack yesterday, and to those who broke the law, you will pay. You do not represent our movement. You do not represent our country. And if you broke the law, you can't say that. I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust. It's defiled, right? See, I can't see it very well. Okay, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay?
But Congress has certified. Now Congress has
certified. Yeah, right.
Now Congress
I didn't say over, so let me see. Go to the paragraph before. Okay? I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me. Good. Take the word yesterday, because it doesn't work with the heinous attack on our country. Say on our country. Want to say that?
No.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Is that it? Okay. Well, you know, I think on one side, you so rarely see, especially when you watch the video of it and not just hearing it, you so rarely see Donald Trump look unsure or vulnerable. And in his eyes a couple times of just feeling unbalanced and not, and like that was my biggest takeaway. It's like, obviously there were certain things he didn't want to say, but of course we know that he doesn't want to say it. It's more of the how uncomfortable he looks, and I feel like he's so unrationally or irrationally confident all the time, and so to see him kind of out of step with that was interesting to watch.
He doesn't get rattled very often.
No.
Right? No matter right or wrong.
He just keeps going.
He just keeps going. And forward, forward, forward. And yeah, it was interesting to see his frustration and difficulty with the word yesterday.
I mean, could you imagine being in that room?
Well, you hear Ivanka. You can hear Ivanka in the back room, like background, trying to coach her dad and like have the patience of, okay, dad, you can do this.
And trying to just calm the room down, like, okay, we'll take it out. Like, just trying to, you know, calm him down.
Placate him.
Oh.
And because I don't even know, I can't remember what actually ended up making it into the address that he had that aired. But it was interesting to watch. But I will say, to give credit where credit is due, or at least be a little understanding, I read from a teleprompter a lot, and I screw up all the time. I literally was at Journal Sentinel yesterday, and we were filming a new, I'm trying to think of what the words were. It was like a study that, and I trip over my words all the time, where they're like, I didn't realize that this word was as hard as it is. And so when he says, yesterday, that's a hard word for me, defiled. And it was like, when you're trying to read for the teleprompter, it's harder than it looks. So I will defend him a little bit, because it is harder than it looks sometimes. Any other takeaways from last night as far as, was it deserving of being in prime time? Was there any huge revelations for either of you?
I mean, I think the talk about like the Secret Service and just the fact, you know, looking at the call logs and seeing Trump's inaction the entire time. Like, I think the American people really need to like just hear that, especially ones who are still on Trump's side. Like, he didn't do anything, and police were getting killed, and our senators and reps were at risk of, I mean, Mike Pence's Secret Service, whose their job is to protect the vice president, were like screaming on the radio asking people to call their families. So I think this was a really important hearing, just to kind of play to the emotions of people who still don't believe that January 6th was an insurrection.
Well, and as to Josephine's point, the fact that those call logs and now all these texts have disappeared from the Secret Service is it's screaming out for attention. It is.
Yeah, I think there was also something with the time, putting the timeline in of all of these like Fox News characters and everyone who was texting Mark Meadows being like, you got to do something. He needs to address. You're going to ruin everything that you've built. Like, everyone, and putting that, because those, they leaked months ago, right? That those texts and everything that people were concerned about. And then obviously they did a full 180 pivot once they actually had to go on air and be like, well, this wasn't that bad. But I still can't get over every time they show body cam footage or anything of what it was like to actually be there and how aggressive and violent and so much of it was, you know, the exchanges that didn't necessarily end up getting reported on, but just the amount of punching and shoving and everything. And I just... It makes me so uncomfortable every time I see that, and how anyone can watch that and be like, well, come on, it wasn't that bad.
I think it's a miracle that none of our senators or reps died during that. Let alone, like, from a heart attack. You see all those old men running? Like, the fact that they all survived, I think we're very lucky. I think we're very lucky.
Yeah, I think we're lucky, too. I think it's making a difference. I don't know. You know, I think it's maybe a good pivot point as far as, you come from a much redder part of the state than I've ever lived in. I've lived in Madison and Milwaukee, which is two of the bluest parts of the state. But have you seen any minds start to change from the people in your community?
I don't know if the hearings are impacting that, but I know, like, right when January 6th happened, I mean, a lot of the people where I live, they're like common sense Republicans, like the old Republicans. You know, they're the,
like,
Republicans.
Like the 90s
who,
Republicans.
They're the Republicans who still went and got vaxxed, you know, because they believe in vaccines. They believe in science. And I think watching the assault on our Capitol was, I mean, they felt disgusted. Like, that's, you know, they weren't the ones storming. Like, you know, that wasn't their crowd. I think that's when the whole election fraud really... they kind of drew the line there with the insurrection. So if the hearings are helping or not, I think they are. in my part of the state, I'm not so sure the impact they're having.
I guess we'll find out because there is an election coming. So with that, actually, we should talk about where in the state you're from. So you are from, like, not Richland Center, but, like, in the Driftless region.
Yeah, Vernon County.
Okay. And that is where you ran for Wisconsin Assembly in 2020 at the ripe age of 18 years old.
Yeah.
Had you even graduated high school yet?
Not when I announced. So I announced a little over a year before the election. So I actually announced the day before my 18th birthday, October 2019.
And so you were a senior in high school?
I was a senior in high school.
And you knew that you were going to be able to legally run because you would be 18 by the time the election. So wait.
I was 19 by the time of the 2020 election.
Okay.
I turned 19 like a month before the election.
So, and which district was it?
The 96th.
The 96th. Okay. And so what, I mean, me in my senior year of high school, granted, I was not doing nothing. I was in LA trying to be an actress, but that's a little bit more trivial, I think, than I'm going to run for Wisconsin State Assembly. And so how were you that activated that you were like, instead of, oh, I'm going to work on a campaign or I'm going to join a campaign or, you know, because at that point, it was 2020 was a huge election year that there's so many different campaigns you could have been working on. How did you decide, no, I'm going to run for assembly?
So I've always been political. I mean, I was born in Washington, D.C., or Alexandria, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. So I've had an interest in history, government, politics, like my entire life. Like, I don't remember learning about politics. Like, it's just always been who I am, which is funny because my parents weren't super political before 2016. It was just kind of an independent. I mean, I started watching The West Wing in fifth grade. Like, who? What? But in 2018, I got involved with the assembly candidate who was running, Paul Burr, phenomenal candidate. He lost by just under like 1,000 votes, like the closest that district's ever been. And it was gut-wrenching because I thought Paul was the best candidate. And when I found out he wasn't going to run in 2020, I was like, well, who's going to be the next candidate that I will put my full support behind, that I'll believe in? And then I thought, well, why not me?
God, the confidence. This is the kind of confidence every young woman needs. All right, well, I want to keep hearing about this story and her what it was like to run. So stay with us. We're with Josephine Janes on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.